usual, I want to say thank you to everybody who came. It's always a blessing. It's a blessing for us here. Thank you to everybody who's tuning in out there. And today I'm going to be talking about something that a lot of people don't like to hear anymore. It's not maybe a popular message, but it's one that we need to hear. Okay? It's going to kind of take a turn, maybe towards the middle of it, but I'm going to start off talking about repent. Okay? And we're living in a culture where believers and non-believers, they're both saying, only God can judge me. No one wants to hear about sin. Nobody wants to have their sin called out. They don't want to hear the preacher preaching about it. They don't want to hear any way, shape, or form. Their attitude is, you better back off. You better back off. As a matter of fact, they're like, you better check yourself. You check yourself. Don't check me. You check yourself. Okay, that's how we're getting. It's almost like a, you know, coming to blows kind of thing if anybody mentions anything about the fact that somebody might be sinning or whatever, okay? You'll be attacked, and you'll be told you're hateful, you're mean-spirited. Your own Christianity will come into question by everybody who doesn't like what you're saying, okay? They'll say, who are you to judge me? And in all of this, Christians are not adhering to sound doctrine because they're cozy with the no judgment, therefore no sin. They think as long as nobody's preaching about it, as long as nobody's telling each other about it, as long as it don't get pointed out, the light don't get shined on it, I'm not sinning. You know, who, what, me? I don't sin. As a matter of fact, a lot of people have that attitude, that they don't sin. And I'm telling you, we're just untouchable down here, aren't we? It's like, wow, where is this coming from? Okay? Even to the point that when a friend has a real problem, maybe they've got an unhealthy addiction, maybe there's a prideful attitude, or even there can be a problem with judging of others. And what we do, instead of coming to them in love and trying to show them in the Word and talking to them, we just hands off. It's like, I don't want to stir up. I don't want to stir the pot. Don't want to get the hornet's nest stirred up. Hands off. And in doing that, what we really think is we don't want to be unloving. So we don't want to approach them and get into the ugliness, get down into the muck and the mire and show them what's going on according to God's word. So what we do is we have a hands-off approach because we want to avoid difficult conversations. And we say that we're doing it out of love. Because I love this person, I don't want to get into it and get things ugly and get things stirred up, you know, because I love them. And well, I want to tell you something. You know what? That's exactly the opposite. When you don't love your brother and your sister enough to come to them in love and approach them and show them what God's word says about what they're doing or what's going on, you're doing just the exact opposite. You're not loving them. You're letting them continue on down that road to destruction. Okay? We're to hold our brothers and sisters accountable. You know what? Amen. If you say you're a Christian, and it's not just that you say it, if you're really a Christian, then your heart's desire is supposed to be to want your brothers and sisters in Christ to lovingly. Doesn't mean you come up and beat them over the, you know, head with the word, but to show them, talk to them, even if it's one-on-one, it doesn't have to be all out in the public, whatever, okay? But you've got to come to them, and you've got to have those conversations, and they're not always easy, all right? But we're accountable for what we do and what we don't do. If you sat there and you saw somebody going down that path of destruction and you didn't say a thing, you're going to be held accountable for that. Okay? And you don't want to be held accountable because you didn't open your mouth and have that difficult conversation. Not everything in this life is easy, okay? And Romans 12:9 it says, "Let love be without dissimulation." So love needs to be true and pure. Abhor that which is evil. Cling to that which is good. Now, a lot of people don't want their sin called out. Let's don't talk about it. Let's not get into all that and whatever. But you know what? As a true believer, you're supposed to hate sin. You're supposed to hate it. Okay? And I say true believer because nowadays there's a lot of people that like to carry that title, I'm a Christian. They put the cross on. They got the t-shirt. Christian? Yeah, that's where they're wrong. Okay, there's so many of us that don't even care to walk intimately with Jesus, yet we're walking around to the world saying, oh yeah, I'm Christian. And there's no more Christian to that than a man in the moon. And so the thing with that is, when you really are serving Jesus and you're walking intimately with him, first of all, your Holy Spirit should be putting you in check. Okay, you ought to be feeling something from him. And that person that's coming to you in love, talking to you, they're not the first point of reference. It should have been within your own self. If you're not having that tug on your heart and you're not having something convicting and pulling on you about what you're doing, you might want to check your relationship because something ain't right. Because the Holy Spirit, first of all, will speak to you when you get out of line. It don't have to be someone else. When you've gotten so far out of line that someone else can clearly see it, and now they want to come to you in love, you know God was speaking to you first if you're a Christian. But so many people like to carry that title, but they're not walking the walk. And then when they get bowed up and mad at you because you did say something, it's because really what happened was you approached a total sinner. You actually approached somebody who's not a Christian. And guess what? They can hear this word, but they don't like hearing that. They don't like any of that because they're not really walking with Jesus. So that's usually when people get mad and want to tear into you and tear your head off. It's because they're not actually even a Christian. So they really didn't care to hear what you said. They don't respect what you said. They don't adhere to what you said because they're not walking in truth and they're not living in the truth. If it's a true brother or sister in Christ, They might get their feelings hurt. It might be a difficult thing. But in the long run, they're going to come back. Even if they don't ever acknowledge you, they're going to acknowledge to God. They're going to be glad, okay, that somebody loved them enough to come over there and call them out, okay? And especially those of us that are behind the pulpits, that's our job. And I've got people that get so mad at me. Yeah. And it's like, and I'm not even doing it. I'm not even calling out somebody by name or whatever. I may make a post or something on Facebook about something random that God laid on my heart. You know what happens then? The people that surface that get mad and angry and come out and fight about it, that's because you just hit on something. Right. That's because that light just shined into their darkness, okay? And the thing is, as pastors and preachers of the word, you don't back down from the truth. You back God's word. You stand with it, okay? We'll be judged stricter than everybody else for what we're doing and not doing and what we're teaching and getting it right, okay? And so when somebody's coming to you and you can back it up in the word, don't get mad at that person. They're using the word of God, okay? That's where we're supposed to be coming from, not our own opinions, with God's word. And Psalm 97:10 says, "You that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserves the souls of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked." When you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, he's the one that's judging sin. He automatically is speaking into your spirit. That's not right. That's sin. That's whatever. He's automatically pointing. You're like a little vessel in your house in God. He's inside of you and he's flagging it. Every time you see it, every time you're around it, he's flagging you. He knows what sin is. Okay, so when you're saying God lives inside of you and you're really a Christian, you can't go around acting like, well, I didn't know that was sin. I had no idea about this. Guess what? He knows. And if he's inside of you, he's quickening that on your spirit. And he's saying, stay away from that. Avoid this. Stop doing this. Okay? Now, he don't slam you with everything when you first get saved right off the bat. You may have a lot going on. He'll clean you up little by little, okay? But he's not ignorant to what sin is. So when you've got God living inside of you, he's always leading and guiding and telling you and showing you which path to walk if you'll listen to him. Okay? And in John 12:48, this is Jesus speaking. He says, "He that rejects me and receives not my words has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." This word right here, this is the word that Jesus spoke. Jesus is the word. Okay, this word right here is who's going to judge in the last day, okay? When you read and study the word of God and it gets down inside of you, okay? And when you flow in love and call out sin, you're not the one judging, but this word is. And that's where people get offended and they get upset with the person, and it's not that person. If they're coming to you in the right spirit, God is the one who moved on them and called them over there to you in love, okay? And each one of us is going to stand before Jesus Christ and receive our judgment. No man is going to judge us in the end, okay? We're all going to be judged according to this word. So don't get upset at the person when they're what they're saying is backed up by this word. Then you need to hit your knees and get into some prayer, and you need to seek God about it instead of just sitting there. And where everybody wants to stop is, well, I don't like you. I don't have to listen to you. You ain't the judge of me. And just break it off and then go try to start a fight about it. Then they go and try to get their friends. Let's rally up together and beat up on that one, or let's group up and let's hate that one. What is that? When really, if you're a true Christian, you ought to be saying, Lord, thank you for pointing that out to me. This was really hard. I need your help. Guess what? He's the one who helps us walk this walk. Yes. We don't do it alone. And there's another reason why when you see something, now you don't have to be the sin police. You don't have to just every little thing. You shouldn't have said that. You don't have to nitpick, okay? God will work on these people. But when it's something that's so big and so obvious, okay, here's the thing. You want to point out sin because Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, okay? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Now, let's say, you know, you got a child, or you got a husband, a best friend, and, you know, maybe they're cheating or, you know, sleeping around, maybe they're not married, you know, whatever the situation is, and you know it's not right, but you want to keep your friendship intact. You think more of keeping your friendship intact and not causing any waves than you do for calling out that sin when you know it's wrong. You yourself wouldn't do it because you're like, I know better. But you're okay to let the friend just keep doing it, and you don't want to say nothing to them. You know what will happen? And if, let's just say that example, and both of them died right now, the Bible says a fornicator will not inherit heaven. So guess what? That friend who you love so much, you never said nothing to, gonna go burn in hell. And look at that. And you yourself, you may lose rewards or something. We don't know what the judgment is for knowing to do right and not doing it, okay? So let's not be scared to approach somebody when God lays it on your heart. You know, don't let people back you into a corner and feel like you can't even say anything about sin. That's what's happening in these mega churches. They're not even talking about sin. They're not even speaking about hell. They're not even calling none of it out. And now the world has gotten to where, well, we don't have sin. You've got people walking around saying, I don't even sin. You know, even I sin. Come on now, this is getting ridiculous when you got people saying you don't sin. It's our nature. Now, you don't stay in it, and you don't love it, and you don't live in it. When you've got the Holy Spirit inside of you, and you're truly walking intimately with Jesus, you get away from that stuff. Okay, you don't just stay down in there. If you fall down, get up. All right, and Matthew, and something else about don't be calling out my sin, don't be getting on to me. Y'all can tell somebody got me fired up on this, I'm just going to tell you. So in Matthew, and I was watching a movie with my family, and this got me going on this. In Matthew 3:1-2, in the days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he was preparing the way of the Lord. Okay, guess what? He was preparing the way of the Lord the first time. Who's preparing the way of the Lord the second time? Because there's another preparation that's going on right now. We got people that done, okay, it's been almost a couple thousand years. So since the Lord walked this earth, don't you think people have done got off in the muck of the mire and down into the pit and everything else? Don't we need to prepare the way again? Yeah. Isn't he coming again? He's coming back a second time. All of us need to be John the Baptist. Get out there and cry out in the wilderness, right? That's what God's called us to do. We're making that way again. Okay, and I'm going to tell you something. John the Baptist, he never let up on calling out them people's sin. They would come down there, he would call out, you brood of vipers and everything else. He knew who really had a heart for God and who didn't. And he'd call them out on it. He didn't sit there and play, let's play nice like we're all Christians. He called your bluff right on the spot to your face. Okay? And another thing, this Herod, he never let up on him. From the word go, he told him, what you're doing is sin. You've taken your brother's wife, your brother's still alive, you're living in adultery, you're in sin. Okay? And he did not let up on him, so much so that he imprisoned him and cut his head off for it. Okay? So I'm telling you something. And that man, John the Baptist, He was out there in that rough camel stuff, eating honey and whatever, and people were coming to him. And they were asking, what do I do to be saved? What do I do? And he was teaching them and he was telling them. And he never backed off. He never backed off of repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay? And so we shouldn't shut up about it either. This world's trying to back us into a corner and telling us to shut up about it. We don't want to hear you trying to judge our stuff. We don't want anything brought to this light. We want to have gay pastors and ministers. That's abomination. You cannot be gay serving the Lord. You can if you're repenting and you're asking him to help you to stop it and change your lifestyle. But there should not be any gay pastor, preacher, minister up in the pulpit. Amen. Openly being gay and wanting to stay that way. And right. Until you're not gay no more, you don't have no business being up here preaching the word of God. Right. That's total abomination. I didn't mean to get off on that kick, but there that is. Now, so about this repent. Okay, because John wasn't the only one who said repent. And I know I went to church and I'm like, I had no idea what repent meant. I'm like, okay, whatever with that. You know, like, what does repent mean? Well, okay, we're going to get all technical here. But it means it's a Greek word, or I looked this up in the Greek, metanoia, 3341 in your Strong's. It says a change of mind, implying pious sorrow for unbelief and sin, and a turning from them unto God and the gospel of Christ. So what does that mean? A lot of people think, and I used to think this too, when you confessed and you said, please forgive me of my sins, I thought that was repent. Yeah. That's confessing your sins. There's two different things. There's like a double step. Yeah. Number one, you got to confess and say, I'm sorry for all the bad things I've done. That's where Kennedy, my little girl, 7 years old, sin. All the bad things we do, okay? It don't take a rocket scientist to know what sin is and what doesn't please God. When you're ugly, okay? Not physically ugly. When you're being ugly, all right. Sin, all right? Now, whenever you confess that and you say, I'm sorry, the next step you got to do is stop it. That's where that turning comes from. Stop doing all your sin. Turn away from it.
Yeah.
Go to God. Okay? And if you can't stop doing it on your own, guess what? He helps you. He's not leaving us out here pitiful and all alone. He's holding our hands and walking us through this, okay? So turn from your sin and turn to God. That's what repent means.
Amen.
Stop it. Okay? Now, Revelation 3:19, this is Jesus speaking. He says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. So he didn't say, I love you, so I'll just be quiet and I'll sit in the corner and I'll just let you run with it. No, he's going to get on you about it.
Right.
Okay, because he loves you. Same thing with your kids. You don't let your kids run all over you at home and you got them, you know, telling them to mind this and do that and do whatever and they just bow up at you and whatever. You're not going to stand for that. As a parent, you shouldn't. You have to have some form of discipline on them because you love them and you don't want to be brat. They don't want to be brats out in this world where you're ashamed of their behavior, where everybody sees your kid coming and they're like, ooh, let's go. We got to get out of here before that kid shows up. You don't want that kid, that reputation to follow your kid around. Jesus is the same way about us. He wants people to love when they see us coming. There ought to be something about us that people flock to instead of, oh, here comes that one, you know? So, all right, and one more point about all this repentance. Jesus told 5 out of the 7 churches in the book of Revelation, and I'll just name the scriptures, Revelation 2:5, 2:16, 2:22, 3:3, and 3:19. There were 7 churches. All right, and he told 5 of them to repent. Okay, and so there's something to this repenting. It didn't go away. It started over here. Well, it started out in the beginning, all right. But in the New Testament, you know, you had John the Baptist preparing the way. And guess what? All the way over here till Revelation, which is still in our time. We're living this out now. We're seeing it come to pass. And Jesus said, repent.
Yes.
Okay, it didn't go away. You ain't going to get away from that. And I'm going to read 2 Timothy 4:2 because this is something that people don't understand about repentance and about why we need to talk to each other and come to each other. And nobody is above it. No one. Okay? And all it is it's a heart thing. It's just humble yourself and God will help you get back on track and straighten up and get out of that stuff. 2 Timothy 4:2-4 says, now this is to the pastors out there, okay? To the people who will. This is to anybody, because guess what? It ain't just us who's called to preach the gospel. And listen to this. Preach the word. Be instant. In season, that means be ready. In season and out of season. So guess what? That's all the time. There's never a time that the word of God's not appropriate. In season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, which is encourage, with all long-suffering and doctrine. That's patience and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Aren't we there already?
Yes.
Don't they want you to shut up? I tell you, I've got them fighting me. If you even touch on sin, they're coming after you. Okay? So I would say we're there. But after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. I see it. When they don't like what this one says, they'll rally the troops. Let's get together and beat that one up. Let's ditch that church. Let's go over here to this one. They're saying what we like to hear. You can spot that a lot of times in these mega churches. And if you pay attention to these mega churches, a lot of times there's a reason why they got to be so mega. And it's not always the hand of God. Okay? Now, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables, which is fiction. And we got a lot of that going on now, where we got books out there who, not even the Bible, that they'll come tell you whatever this is, blah, blah, religion, and this is what we believe, and there's people heaping to that stuff. You got this whole religion of Islam, which was some made-up junk that was told to this Muhammad probably by a demon. If he had any revelation at all, it's from demonic sources. And they got their whole own Bible and they denied Jesus and everything else. And you got people flocking to that. Wow. We got false doctrines all over this place, okay? And people loaded up in this stuff because they're going after the stuff that's not even true. Okay, and those of us who know that we know that we know we've experienced God, we have got to dig in and stand for this truth. Okay, it's what's going to be. It's what's still going to be standing after everything else is gone is God's word. Okay, in Proverbs, I'm going to turn over here and read Proverbs 2:23. Because there's something to this about receiving correction and all of these things too. It's not easy to be on the receiving end. And I'm going to tell you something, it's not easy to be on the giving end either. But there's something about someone who can still sit there and be and receive that. That says something about your character. That says something about your walk with God. Whether you turn and you get vicious and angry and fight and mad, or whether you say, you know what, thank you for pointing that out. I'm going to pray about it. And you know, and you take in what the person said. Now, if they're just off on some crazy whatever, then you ought to know your word good enough to say no, and here's why. But if you don't, then both of y'all got a problem. Okay, so Proverbs 2:23. Says, turn you at my reproof. Reproof and rebuke is the same thing. And it says, behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Okay? That's spirit of wisdom that was out there calling in the street. And you know who the spirit of wisdom is? If you look in Isaiah 11:2, those are the seven spirits of God. And the first one it talks about is the spirit of wisdom. That's the Holy Spirit. Okay? Those seven spirits make up the Holy Spirit, which is perfect and complete. And those are the ones that rested upon Jesus. It says, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. That's the words of his mouth. And with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And you know what? When you're a child of God and you're speaking out this word and you're his representative, do you know that we come in the authority and power of Jesus Christ himself? He's given us his authority and power. He abides inside of us. Okay? And so when someone comes to you, don't get in that wrong spirit and retaliate and be angry and hateful because they cared enough. And that's the thing, because they're caring enough. And you might not see it now, but if you sit there and you can see a lot of souls on the road to hell, and then you speak up and they get mad, well, that's because you're touching on something inside of them that ain't wanting to hear the truth. Now, and people will say this too, we've all sinned, and we sure have. We've all fell short of the glory of God, for all have sinned. And the thing is, once you come to Christ, and you really get rooted and grounded in him, you're not a sinner anymore. Okay? He washed that away. And now you've got his spirit inside of you, and you don't desire to stay in the muck and the mire like the pigs who go back to the mud, okay, after they got cleaned up. Don't go back into it. Stay out of it, okay? Don't desire it. We still mess up and we sin, but we don't have to stay in it, okay? You just, and it's not just asking forgiveness one time. When you know you really messed up and something gets on your heart, ask God to forgive you right then and there. You clear the air. And yeah, we can't catch every single thing, and you don't have to drive yourself nuts going, you know, is this a sin? Did I mess up? You don't have to overanalyze everything. You know what your sin is. And if you're not sure, why don't you just say, please forgive me of all my sin. Okay? And then you got it. You've got to keep the blood of Jesus applied to your life, okay? And just so you know, I'm fixing to read some big, long list of people who are not going to heaven, because there is a consequence for sin. We just said it was the wages of sin is death. I'm going to go to Galatians 6, 19 through 21, because some people, if you don't read your Bible, you don't even realize these lists are out there. Guess what? God cared enough. He put lists in here so that if something hits on something you're living in, you need to check it and get it right with God and get out of it, because we're in the last days. We don't have time to be playing right now. Okay, Galatians 6, 19 through 21. Oh, man, that ain't right, because this don't even go 19 through 21. Let me see. Maybe it's 5. Okay, Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Sorry about that, y'all. Okay. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, that's sleeping with somebody you're not married to, or not married to while you're married. Fornication, that's sleeping with somebody and you're not married. Okay, so when you're sleeping around with somebody that is not your husband or is not your wife, you're cheating. It's cheating. It's adultery. It's fornication. Get out of it. Because a lot of people don't get that. They think, we're living together. It's okay. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's not. Okay, what about the last person you were living with? Okay, every single person you sleep with, you're linking yourself to that person in God's eyes. Okay, so you need to repent and ask forgiveness for all of that stuff. And if you're not married and you're living together and you're sleeping together or whatever you're doing, then you need to get married and you need to repent for what you were doing before you got married. Okay, you don't want to fall off into this category of, oops, I was in adultery and didn't know it and now I'm burning in hell. Okay, nobody wants to tell y'all about this stuff, but the Bible will. Okay, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. All right, I know I had people rise up against me because I had a friend telling me she was Christian and she is a witch. Those two do not go together. And I mean, it got ugly because they were like, how dare you call her out for saying she's a witch? How dare y'all not stand up for Christianity? Okay, and then I had someone being bold-faced saying my pastor would have never said anything. Well, shame on you for sitting under a pastor who was too scared to say that a witch is not a Christian. All right, something's wrong with that pastor who cannot speak that out. Amen. And especially when they're proud of it. It wasn't that she was confused and didn't know what was going on. No, this person was boldly standing in my face telling me, I am this. And they were proud of it. And shame on me if I wouldn't call that out. Okay, now, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, hearsays, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revelings and of such like, the which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, now we're going to go over here. There's several lists in the Bible. First Corinthians, and they don't all have the same thing spelled out. So if you think, whoo, mine's not in that category, hang on, because we might hit it in a second. Okay, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10. Don't you know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Okay? Now we're going all the way to the back of the Bible. Revelation 21, 8. He even holds on to the very end to remind you of who's not getting in. Okay? But the fearful and unbelieving. You know what that unbelieving is? You're not believing in Jesus Christ, you're not getting in. I've had people tell me, oh, Sherry, everybody's going.
Right, right.
No,
right.
I'm sorry to tell you. But this word is true. This word is inspired by the Holy Spirit, written by Him through the hand of a man. And you are not getting in if you have never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And it's not no little wimpy prayer where you went down there just to because your family made you feel guilty or because your girlfriend showed up with you that day and you thought you'd impress her and you no more meant that in your heart than anything. You're not saved. I'll tell you right now, I'm not going along with that. You're not saved when you turn around, you don't care to read the Word, you don't want to associate with Christians, you're living in, you never even got out of your sin. What about that shows us the fruits of your life?
Yeah.
Okay? We're supposed to know each other by our fruits.
Amen.
And if I don't see no change in you, and you're still doing all the same stuff you were doing, and there's no change, then it did not take. And it didn't take because it wasn't a heart. It wasn't felt from the heart, okay? God judges the heart. It don't matter what words you speak out. It don't matter what kind of junk you tell Him with your lips. He's watching your heart. And you can tell Him anything up here all day long. But if it ain't from the heart, you ain't fooling Him, okay? Now, so unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers. Sorcerers. Oh, there's my friend that said she's a witch. That's why I'm speaking out, okay? Idolaters, liars, shall all have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death, okay? So, I just want to say, and I heard this online, and I thought this was a really good phrase. It touched me. Let's respect the sacrifice that Jesus made for us.
Amen.
And stop sinning and get the sin out. Mm-hmm. If you really ever watched one of those movies where they try to do a remake, or they try to show us what it might have been like, because none of us were there to know. But I'm telling you what, it wasn't to where we see, and we don't even see stripes or any, but He was a bloody mess.
Yes.
His skin was ripped and torn off of His body. For you, those stakes, nails, whatever, driven in His hands and in His feet.
Yes.
You know you wouldn't let me come up and drive one in your hand.
Right.
He did that for each and every single one of us. And it wasn't pretty, and it was a bloody mess. Okay? And we need to be more respectful of the sacrifice He made for us. And I want to say something, if you don't ever hear this anywhere else, Jesus is coming soon.
Yes.
Soon. And I don't know why the pastors in the pulpits are scared to say that. They're scared to preach on it. They're scared to touch on it. And I'll tell you why. Because there's been so many people that made us look bad, right? The ones that are saying, oh, He's coming in such and such and, you know, whatever. And then it was like, oh, that went by, and then that wasn't right, and everybody made fun of them.
Right.
Then another one said, oh, He's coming in, and whatever, and then that went by, and then everybody made fun of them.
Right.
Well, I'm going to tell you what. If you cower back and you get too chicken and scared to even sit there now and say that you know He's coming soon, shame on you.
Amen.
Because there's too much going on that we can see He's coming soon. And those of us who are really plugged in the Holy Spirit, you know it. You feel it. He's quickening that on your spirit.
Amen.
There's too many people, when you talk to true believers, that God is speaking so many things in dreams, in visions in His Word, and it's all lining up. He's coming soon. You don't have time to play anymore. And that's why I felt God laying it on my heart. Repent. This is the time, okay? Okay, you got to open your spiritual eyes. I'm winding this down now. Isaiah 13:9-11 says, behold, the day of the Lord come, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and He shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened, and in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. Don't be arrogant and prideful when somebody comes up to you trying to help you stay on the straight and narrow. Because Jesus said there's a straight and narrow path at the narrow gate, and few there are that find it.
Right.
So help your friends. Help your family. Don't be too scared to try to say something to them. If they love you, come on now. The last thing I'm going to say is in Luke 19:43-44, maybe not exactly the last thing, but For the day shall come upon you that your enemy shall cast a trench about you and compass you round about and keep you in on every side and shall lay you even with the ground and your children within you. And they shall not leave in you one stone upon another because you knew not the time of your visitation. Now this was Jesus and he was speaking to the Jews and this was happening to them. Listen to this. They did not recognize him as the Messiah. Okay, and here's the thing. Right now, we're in another time. There's fixing to be another coming. There's going to be a rapture first, which I don't call a coming because his feet ain't touching down. Right. He's coming in the clouds just like he left in the clouds, okay? Yeah. And then he's coming back. And the thing is, you're fixing to be judged for not knowing the signs. He expects you to know the signs. He expected them to know, and they didn't know. So guess what? Judgment came and still coming because they're not finished pulling their judgment out yet. And that's all I have today, and that's a hard note to end on, but I'm just screaming from this pulpit, repent, change your life, give it to Jesus. And dear Heavenly Father, Father, we just thank you so much, Lord, for loving us enough to give us your word and that you do correct us when we step out of line, Lord. And we just pray, Father, that everyone will be open to receive correction and rebuke and reproof, Father, because we're not doing it out of pride. If we're saying anything at all, we're doing it because we want them to be in heaven with us, Lord. We want as many people as we can get to go with us. We don't want people to be like, you never said anything to me. I didn't know. Why didn't you tell me? You know, because when they're burning in hell, that's what's going to be on their minds. And I'm telling you, I'd rather have somebody's feelings hurt right now than to have them hurt then. Amen. And Heavenly Father, we just ask you to give us strength, Lord, because evil is rising up. It's rising up because we're so close. All these signs, all these prophecies, all the things that are happening, we are so close to Jesus' return. And those people that are truly plugged in, you know your spirit is being quickened in your heart, telling you, stay ready, stay ready, stay ready. And I'm just begging and I'm pleading with y'all right now to just get in Jesus. It's not something to be ashamed of. It's not ridiculous. It's not anything. It's a hard time right now because you see people laying their life on the line more and more and more, which we haven't seen so much over here in our country. But you know what? I'd rather die for him than to go to hell and die without him. Okay, he died for us, and if it comes down to it, we would have to die for him. But I'm telling you what, we don't know what's coming on our shores before the rapture, but the people that are going in the rapture, they're not chickens, and they're not, you know, we are to escape. We're supposed to watch and pray that we can be worthy. Now, there's something about that worthiness, because the other people, they like to bow up and say, well, I'm going in the trib. I'm really going to get busy. Well, the ones who are escaping, says watch and pray that you're counted worthy. So don't be beating them up too hard, because if they're gone, that meant they were worthy. Okay? And it's something to be called worthy by God. And that's what we need to be striving for, is to be called worthy by him. And dear Heavenly Father, we just ask you, Lord, to reach out. We just ask you to be with the persecuted church, Father. Protect them, Lord. Father, we pray that our family and friends would come to know salvation. And those that are watching, Father, touch their lives. Draw them into Jesus, Father. We pray that they would hear your call and heed it, Lord. This is a warning. We're blowing the trumpet. Time is short. Jesus is coming so soon. So soon. And pastors and preachers, ministers, don't be scared to bring that message. Bring it. You know, it's like don't say nothing and then egg is going to be on your face. Say it. Don't be scared to step out. We're not date setting. But we are saying soon, soon, soon. Lord, help us to be ready. Help us to be ready. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Hey, you guys. I just want to take a minute to let's go through how to pray the prayer of salvation, okay? And why? Why do we even need to pray the prayer of salvation, okay? And also, I'm talking to the people also who maybe walked with the Lord and you went away from him and you just kind of left it behind and you haven't really been walking with Jesus anymore. That's what we call backsliders. I'm talking to both the person who wants to be saved for the first time ever and to the person who's a backslider who wants to come back to Jesus, because this ministry does not believe in once saved, always saved. Okay, God does his part and we do our part. It's a team. We work together. All right, so the first thing is, you might say, and I hear this a lot,
And even my husband was saying it, to be honest with you, before we got truly saved. I'm a good person. You know, I haven't killed anybody. That's kind of the standard these days. As long as you haven't killed anybody, you're a good person. Really, listen to this. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3:23. All of us have sinned. To be honest with you, because the world is in a fallen state, we all are born into sin, okay? And also for the people that think, but I'm a good person. I'm good. I don't hurt nobody. I do good things. I help people. That person, then there's scripture in Isaiah that says for our righteousness, that's when we're calling ourselves good and we're saying, but we're good. We're good people. Our righteousness is as filthy rags to God. That's that thing that stinks that you're like, ooh, get it out of the house, right? Filthy rags to him. Okay, and he's the standard. He's the judge, Jesus Christ. And so the thing is, if we miss his mark and we don't please him, we're not going to make heaven. So we want to make sure we got our ducks all in a row, right? And if you look at the Ten Commandments, now we're not a legalistic church. We know we're under grace, which is what Jesus Christ brought. But there's people that say, you know, like, I don't need Jesus. I'm doing the Ten Commandments. Well, if you just pull out the simplest one, I'm just going to pull out one. You shall not lie. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Okay, that's what lying is. And if you say, I don't lie, that's a lie. Everybody lies. Little kids come out lying. You say, did you do that? Did you break this? No, not me. Bam. So come on, you know. So here's the thing. We've all broken at least one of the commandments. And in the New Testament, it says if you break one, you broke them all. Because that's the attitude of God. He's like, if you break one, it's just as good as breaking them all, because that's all it takes to separate you from him is one. Okay? So let's pray that prayer of salvation. It's real easy to do, y'all. You just say, dear Jesus, please forgive me of all my sins. Please come into my heart. I believe you died on that cross for me, and I believe you rose again, and you are seated at God's right hand. Please help me to live for you all the days of my life. And thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Now, that prayer you prayed to Jesus in his name. The rest of them, you're going to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Okay? And you'll get all that as you learn and grow in the Spirit. Okay? To see why you needed to pray that prayer of salvation, the scripture on that is Romans 10:9-10. That'll show you about confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart and how to obtain salvation, in case you're wondering how come we're doing that, okay? Now, something that you're going to want to do, you want to right off the bat start establishing your relationship with Jesus. Okay, and in order to do that, you want to hear his voice, right? You want to hear him. I don't know a person out there that's trying to be a Christian that doesn't want to hear his voice. And how you hear his voice? Read his word. That's his words written down for you and I to read. That's his voice speaking to you without a shadow of a doubt. Okay, then when you pray, you speak to him. So what's that? That's two-way communication. You're speaking to him. He's speaking to you. Now you've got a relationship going, okay? And you want to do that every day. Every day, seek him. You seek him by reading his word and praying and letting him know, I want more of you. When you read the Bible, ask him to open your spiritual eyes and your spiritual ears and to give you understanding. And he'll help you understand his word, okay? He wrote it by Holy Spirit, okay? And the next thing that you're going to want to do is get in a good Bible-based church. Now, I'm not pushing any kind of denomination. You just want to find a church that is preaching and teaching the whole Bible, okay? They believe in the Bible, and they believe in Jesus Christ, that he is God and the Son of God, okay? And that it's through him that we have our redemption and our salvation. He's the way, the truth, and the life, okay? And also, I wanted to say that some people think, oh, I just pray for forgiveness one time and I'm done because he died way back when. So now that I asked, it's all already done. No, You need to ask forgiveness and try to make it a habit on a daily basis, because we're in these fleshly bodies before we get our glorified bodies, so we battle this flesh daily. So just, you know, when you pray each day, at some point during the day, say, Lord, please forgive me for all my sins, and go on about your prayer. And he knows you're praying and you're talking to him from your heart, and you talk to him just like you and I would talk, okay? You don't have to have fancy whatever, all right? And ask him to help you grow spiritually. If you want to, let us know that you prayed that prayer. It would be such a blessing to hear your testimony, okay? God bless y'all.